Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. We honor you. You truly are our friend. And we pray this in your name, and everyone said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Cody. Thank you. That was great. What do you believe? What do you believe? It's a big question, because invariably, without doubt, every one of us will come up against that wall. And circumstances in our life, whether that be physical, whether that be circumstantial, whether that just be spiritual, whatever it is, the question of what do we believe will hit at the core. Yesterday I was driving a charter bus, bringing some kids from a church to a camp. And I bumped in Steinbach. I just filled up with gas at the co-op there. And bumped into a guy I hadn't seen for a while, and he said, "Oh, Tim, how you doing?" Good. Talked a little bit, and then he said, "Well, keep my family in prayer." I said, "Well, what's going on?" He goes, "Well, my dad is dying. He's 85, and he's struggled 9 years with cancer, and it looks like it's the end." And then we started talking about he and his brother are believers. They believe in Jesus, and so does their dad. But he said, "There's a little bit of doubt there. Little bit of doubt towards the end for the father, saying, like, is this really true? I believe God all my life. Is he really true?" And I've had that numerous conversation with lots of people on their deathbed. But it doesn't even have to be at the end of life. It's in the middle of your life, that risk that I ask you about, that challenge, that difficulty. If we're sitting quietly sometime, as I've had a number of those times in my own life, God, are you really real? What do you believe? It actually matters. It actually matters. Jesus is having a conversation in one of the pinnacle parts of his ministry with his disciples. There's a part in John chapter 14 where they're saying, where he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." They were very troubled. They were questioning, they were doubting, they were struggling with what all was going on in their life. And I want to hone in this morning on verse 6, where it says, Jesus told them, "I am the way. I am the way." We're talking about that over the summer. Jesus said, "I am." Last week we talked about "I am He" and how he identified that he is actually God. He's actually God. That changes everything. And then Scott helped us to understand that when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he's your very sustenance. He's your food. He can help you. And today I want to talk about where Jesus says, "I am the way." John chapter 17, verse 3. What is the way? Verse 3. "And this is the way to have eternal life." This is the way to have eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one who sent. It's not just what you believe. I really want us to catch this morning. It's who you believe. Who do you believe? You see, when we go through those struggles, when it comes right down to it, it's me sitting there in my trouble. It's me sitting in my overwhelm. It's me sitting in my questioning. It's me sitting there. No one else is with me. No one else can actually help me. Yeah, there's consolation and there's encouragement and there's prayer and all. But when it comes right down to it, it's me and my thoughts, and is Jesus actually the way? Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. You can enter, Jesus says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The narrow gate. The highway to hell sounds like an old song. That's where they got it from, I'm sure. But the highway to hell is broad. It's wide. It's a gate that is wide for many who choose that way. Everyone makes a choice. What way do we choose? And every one of us, no matter how old we are, have to continue to choose that way. I have to continue to make choices in my life. I have to choose God's way. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, Jesus says, you want to follow me? What does he say? You must give up your own way. There is a way that seems right to a man, a woman, a child. It's in Scripture. It says there is a way that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. Your own way. My own way. Mine. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to choose, you know, little kids, we have to work it out of them. Mine. Or mine, 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 mine. Remember that in one of the movies? Tell me you do. Mine, mine, mine. It's my favorite part of it. My own way. It's Finding Nemo if you're looking for what movie it is. It's a good movie. You can watch it. I don't have to give any. It's just that mind, mind, mind just always plays in me. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, my own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, hang on to it, he says, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you'll save it. Oh, we try to hang on to so many things. So many things. So what's this way? What is this way? It's interesting that when the church was formed in the book of Acts, they were known as the way. And the Apostle Paul, he tells in his testimony, he's saying, I tried to stop the way. He didn't say I tried to stop the church, even though that's what it was. I tried to stop the way. I tried to persecute. I tried to kill. I tried to imprison. I tried to stop the way. And he continued to talk about that throughout the book of Acts. You'll see that phrase come up every once in a while. But if you go to Acts 24, I don't think I gave that to you, Dwight. But Acts 24, verse 14, it says, and the Apostle Paul is talking to Felix, the leader that could put him in jail or release him. He says, but I admit that I follow the way. I admit to you, Felix, great leader, I admit that I follow the way which they, other people, call a cult. But how do you know it's not a cult? How do you know that what we're following in the Scriptures is not a cult, is not a heresy, is right, is not wrong? I worship the God of our ancestors, and I firmly believe the Jewish law and everything written in the prophets. What he's saying is, I believe in the Old Testament. Don't listen to preachers who say the Old Testament is old and is irrelevant for today. It's a foundation that we still need to learn from. There's some things that are irrelevant to to 2024, it was, some of it was cultural, some of it was ceremonial, that we don't follow. But there's still a basis there that helps us follow on. I firmly believe the Jewish law and everything written in the prophets. I have the same hope in God as these men, my ancestors. They believed in God. I have the same hope in God that these men, that He will raise both the righteous and the unrighteous. Because of this, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and all people. He followed God. How do we know that the faith that we're following is true and right? We look over the last 2,000 years of the Christian faith, and we look over several thousand years before that. That's why we have the whole Bible, not just the New Testament. We follow the whole Bible. And that gives us root. That gives us something to stand on. Some people go around, I've got a brand new way. There is a cult called The Way. Or The Way International. And I looked into it a little bit because I'm talking about The Way and go, oh, that's a cult. Well, he announced 50, 60 years ago, I think, when it started, he goes, I've got a new way. Anyone who says, I have a new way, is the wrong way. It's all right here. This is what we can trust. Hebrews chapter 10. There's only one verse that can say new way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. I'm going to back up to verse 19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly empty the most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. And by his death, Jesus opened a new way. Now, he himself said, I'm not throwing away the Old Testament. I'm not throwing away what the prophet said. I'm not throwing that all away. I am building on it, and I'm giving you a new way. Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Remember, when Jesus died, the curtain was ripped in half. From what direction? Top to bottom or bottom to top? Top to bottom. Why? It's almost as if, it doesn't say it in the Bible, but I imagine it this way. God says, okay, here's a new way. And he took his hands and he ripped this curtain that should never be ripped. And he took it and said, here's a new way. And he ripped it from top to bottom. A new way. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God. We can go right into the presence of God. And let us go right in with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. My challenge as a pastor, and I think for all of us, is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Keep a close watch on two things. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Keep a close watch on how you live, your character, your actions, my character, and on my teaching. Thereby, you will assure your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. I need, as your pastor, to stay true. And it says, stay true to what you have believed, what you have learned from me, Timothy, to Paul. What you have learned, stay true to that. Wait, put up this this next picture.
Picture?
Do you know what this is? What is it? The Mandalorian. Okay, I think it's PG, so I'm not going to recommend it, but it's a fascinating 3-season. It comes out of Star Wars. They did a number of minor characters, and then they developed it. So it's an interesting series. Judy and I have watched it and kind of enjoyed it. We won't go into Grogu, who's kind of cute, but whatever. What did the Mandalorian and all the Mandalorians, what was their phrase?
This is the way.
This is the way. They said it all the time. It was almost annoying. This is the way. This is the way. Really? This is the way embodies what it means to be Mandalorian. It's an ancient belief system practiced by the... understand. This is fiction. Just in case you're not aware of Star Wars, and I'm not insulting you, I'm just saying, just so you know, for sake of the illustration. This is a story. This is made up, okay? So in this story, in this series and all of that, it's an ancient belief system practiced by Orthodox members of the Mandalorian society, such as the Children of the Watch. And the way of the Mandalore consisted of a code of behavior and traditions that honored the Mandalorian heritage. It involved practicing fellow Mandalorians, and also, what could they not ever do?
Remove their helmet.
This helmet, I still don't know, like, how could he see anything? How could he fight? How could he defend himself? Oh, I guess he could. But the rule of the Mandalorians, you could never, ever remove the helmet in public. I'm sure they did a little bit privately, but could never be seen with, you never knew who was behind there. Some of their belief was strength is life, for the strong have the right to rule. Honor is life, for with no honor, one may as well be dead. Loyalty is life, for without one's clan, you have no purpose. Death is life, one should die as if they had lived. The Mandalorian way is not a race. It's not a group of people. It's actually the Mandalorian way is a creed. It's a creed. It's a deep belief system that they follow. Now, let me flip it on us now. You can take the picture off now. They say, this is the way. What does Jesus say? I am the way. Our relationship with Jesus is not about creeds and doctrines and beliefs, though we need them. Think about your relationship with a friend, your relationship with a parent, a grandparent, brother, sister, a spouse. Your relationship is based on who they are. Partially what they believe, but it's who they are. When my wife and I started dating, we didn't sit down and go, so what do you believe? What are your doctrines? What are your beliefs about politics? What are all that? Now, maybe if you're dating online, you might want to do that. But that's not what we do. We just kind of liked each other, and it just grew from there. And we really liked and loved who each other was. We do that with all our friends. We like who they are, and you become friends with or have a relationship. Well, you can't necessarily choose your brothers and sisters. You're stuck with them. But you choose and you love and you care for the person because of what they've become and who they are, what they believe in their own life. You know that. But what happens if all of a sudden there's a lie? That breaks things down. And when Jesus says, I am the way, you can trust that he is the way. Now, why does this matter? Why does this matter? I come back to the very beginning. Our life, our choices, our difficulties, our struggles, the issues, life circumstances. It may be health, it may be emotional health, it may be spiritual health, it may be anything that goes on in our life. We'll come down to the part where, what do I believe? But more than that, who do I believe? Who will actually get me through this? And even if I don't make it through, and even if I die, who will carry me through? Who will carry me through? And if we haven't asked that question, we will sometime. And probably many times. But that's the hope. I know whom I believed. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy. And he can be trusted to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. My theme verse, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion until that final day. I am the way, Jesus said. He's not saying this is the way. I am the way. Why is it important? Because for hundreds of years and 2,000 years, people have attacked Jesus Christ and his teachings. And the church has struggled to figure out, how do we make this work? How do we stay true? And you and I can look around all the churches in the world and go, wow. And I say this respectfully, but with, I don't know what word to say it, but there's just some weird churches out there. There are some weird beliefs out there. If you just type in Google or Safari or whatever you do, Jesus, you will get some of the weirdest things. How do we know what's true? So the church in 300 up to 341 worked on putting together a creed. This is what we believe. And on your tables are two creeds that the church, so if you grab one of those sheets, everyone grab a sheet. Yes, go ahead, grab a sheet. The church, over the years, there should be, is there none on that table? Okay, if there's any extras, please hand them out. If there's any, I thought we made enough. Can I have one? Is there an extra one anywhere? Okay. Got one? Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else need one? Okay. Alright. What the church did, now this isn't scripture, understand. We can say, and I can say this to your pastor, believe this whole thing. Okay. I'll believe it. But what the church back then tried to do is they tried to put it down into a couple of paragraphs. This is what we believe. To counteract heresies and lots of false teachings that even the Apostle Paul was preaching and teaching against. But if you were trying to condense what we believe, This is what we believe. So let's read the Apostles' Creed, which I think is the most popular one. I really like it. And then, so I'm going to ask us to stand, and then Cody, you can lead in the closing song after this. Okay?
You have a closing song. Yeah.
So let's stand. And we're going to read this Apostles' Creed. And I think it's up on the, we have it up on the screen, so that's perfect if you don't have a piece of paper. And I'm going to ask us to read it with a little more oomph to it. Okay, so let's read it together and think through what we're reading. Okay, let's go together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That's what we believe, church. That's what we believe. Now, our application reflection is every day this week, and you can find it online, it's the Apostles' Creed. Come on up, Cody. I encourage, I challenge, I double dog dare you, whatever it needs, to read the Apostles' Creed every day for the next 2 weeks. Next Sunday, ask me if I've done it. I'll do it too. Let's read it, and you'll find, okay, it's not scripture, but it really helps us solidify what we truly believe. Because what we believe will actually help us all through life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for what you have done for us. And Jesus, you are the way. You are the way. And we say to you, Jesus, we are following you. We are Christ followers. Jesus, give us strength. Give us courage. Give us everything that we need to stay true to you. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.